So we thank God for another good morning that God has given us to listen to his word. And as we reflect on his faithfulness, his love, his kindness, you know, every day we just need strength. And one of the things that I keep focusing on and thanking God for is that his mercies are new every morning. Times you wake up and your body is just like, ah, but God just gives you the grace. And even though it's like a car, it peaks slowly, but then after some time the engine starts to roll, and that's how God works with us. Just at times he waits to see you just push a bit, and then before you know it, he gives you wings, you know. He takes you up in his arms and you realize that, you know, you are not seeking him in vain. You know, when he says, I have not called the children of Israel to seek me in vain, the children of Jacob to seek me in vain, that is to tell us that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is always looking to strengthen those whose hearts are tuned towards him. So every time we just are in that place where we are like, God, I don't know, I don't have the strength, I am just not sure, I'm not feeling anything, but I am here. And as you keep saying that, then the Holy Spirit comes and you will get that refreshing. You will have that, you know, that infilling, because he is, you know, it says to whoever is thirsty, streams of living water shall come forth from his belly. So there are streams, that there are fountains that are just within, and at times they are just boiling and they just need to be stirred. And when you stir the waters, then you know that the Lord visits and the Lord is upon us. Yeah. So we are carrying on in 1 Corinthians, and yesterday we were looking at the challenges and the examples that the Corinthian church was being given. You see, they were a church, they were, you know, full of knowledge, full of wisdom, full of understanding, but they lacked love, they lacked maturity, they were divided, they were still having struggles, you know, with dealing with sin in the church, in the body. There were those that were still struggling with sexual immorality, there are those who are struggling with marriage, there are those who are, you know, struggling with idolatry. And then, but then Paul has to give them warnings. He has to tell them, look here, even in the time in the Old Testament, we had a congregation. There were those who were baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They saw the miraculous hand of God. They could see the cloud that covered them during the day in the desert. They could see the fire at night. They all ate the same spiritual food. That means they were given manna. They ate something that they had never seen. In fact, the Bible calls it the bread of angels. They all drank the same spiritual drink. That means that when the water came out from the rock, that was the same spiritual drink. And the Bible says they drank of that spiritual rock, and that rock was Christ. So when you think of the rock, that you can imagine for us in the Old Testament, when we read it before, we just knew that it was a rock. Moses was just told, strike the rock, and water came forth. And then the second time he was told, speak to the rock. And instead of him speaking to the rock, he struck it. And that is what was judged for him. And Moses did not honor God, and for that reason he did not enter the promised land. He could only see it from afar, just because of anger. But you see, it is because he struck Christ twice. You know, it's like he crucified Christ twice. He was supposed to hit him the first time, which marked the crucifixion of Jesus once, and it was supposed to be once and for all. But when he struck him the second time, it meant that he is striking Christ again. Whereas he was supposed to speak to the rock. And that is to tell you that how do we interact with Christ today? We speak to him. There is great power in our speaking to Christ. When we speak to the rock, then the water flows. When we speak to Christ, that is how we receive our miracles. That is how we walk in our miracles, speaking to him, speaking to situations, and they obey. This is a new covenant. You see, the new covenant is speaking. But you see, God tells us that with those who did not obey him, with those who grumbled. You know, what were their mistakes? What were their sins? They lusted after evil things. They were remembering the pots of meat in Egypt. They were remembering the melons, the cucumbers, the onions. You can imagine, they longed after their past. They lusted. Yeah, that means they were delivered. They were brought from Egypt, from slavery, which is an analogy of sin. But then they are brought to the light, but then they are still lusting. You know, they are still desiring the things they used to do. They are still living in those memories. And then also, what also was wrong with them, they became idolaters in that they got up they asked, you know, Aaron, that we don't know what has become of this man, Moses, so make for us gods. And Moses and Aaron says that he just threw it in the fire and this is what came out, a golden calf. And he tells them, this is the God that brought you out of Egypt. And the Bible says they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That means that as they worshipped, they ate, they drank by the idols, and then they rose up to play and commit sexual immorality, and they were judged. 23,000 of them fell and died. And Jesus gave that warning that let us not tempt Christ. Now, and some of them did and were destroyed by serpents, and some complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. And the Bible tells us that all these things happened as examples for us, and they are written for our admonition. That means for our warning. They are written for warning for us, to whom the end of the ages has come. And God was warning us that let him who stands thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall, because temptation that has come to us is not overtaken us except that which is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able to bear. And even when it comes, he makes a way of escape. So whatever challenges that, you know, that we are facing, be it sicknesses, be it prolonged illnesses, let us know that God is able. He has not allowed us to be tempted beyond what we can bear, and he knows that we are more than able. And so today we'll conclude chapter 10, and chapter 10 really links up with chapter 8, where we had started looking at, you know, the aspect of idolatry and concerning food sacrifice to idols. And one of the things that we learned is that knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Remember, we also learned that, I mean, you might think you have knowledge, but you see, your knowledge can make you proud. And what was their knowledge? An idol is nothing. And an idol is just wood or metal or anything. It has no power. So, but you see, those that wanted to continue eating the food sacrificed to idols in Corinth, which was a common practice, unfortunately were wounding the consciences of the weaker brothers. And those who were just coming out of those things could easily go back into idolatry and be tempted back to their former ways of eating food sacrificed to idols and committing sexual immorality. And the end result of that is that anyone that did that will sin against Christ. And you see, there are still some concerns, that there are still some sins that are highlighted in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, that if you know what is right and you don't do it, then that is sin. If anything that is not done in faith is sin, then when you also sin against weaker brothers, you sin against Christ. Christ is, you know, you have to think of Christ not just as Jesus Christ alone, the anointed one, but you also have to think of Christ as the union of Jesus and his church. That spirit in which we are united, where we become the body of Christ, him becoming our head and we his body, that is also Christ. So that collective unity of Christ and his church, Jesus Christ and his church, the resurrected Jesus and his church, is Christ. So when we sin against Christ, we sin against the body, and that is when we don't walk in love, you know, we don't walk according to, you know, being concerned that what we are doing injures others, those with weaker consciences, And we have a responsibility to carry each other's burden. So verse 14, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. That means run. You know, we usually speak of flee from sexual immorality, but he's even speaking of idolatry. Run. And remember, idols are not just, they go beyond just the physical idols. We have idols on our phones. Some people, their jobs are their idols. Some people, anything that takes away your passions, that takes away your heart, that takes away your desires from the things of God into the things of man. Even some people, their own selves, they are their own idols. You can think of today, we have pop idols, we have musician idols, we have football idols, we have sports idols. All these are people who are followed, their worship, their praise, and some people it becomes even like a cult following where they even have services, you know, to worship them and all that. Now, Paul was reminding and admonishing the Corinthian church, flee from idolatry. And he says, I speak to as to wise men, judge for yourselves what I say. So now you see, remember, there are things that now he speaks about wisdom. Remember, he says, when I speak to children, they are limitations that I speak to them. But I speak now to those who are wise. I speak as those who are wise. Verse 16, the cup of blessing in which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And communion here is fellowship. Is it not of the fellowship? You know, communion is, it's like joining together. So, the cup of blessing in which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That means the Holy Communion. So, when we are partaking of the bread, it is our joining together of that broken body of Christ together. And it says, for we, though many, are one bread and one body, for we all partake of that one bread. So he's telling them, look here, whenever we partake of the communion, we are saying we are united in the body of Christ. We are part of the body. That is why Christians all over the world take the Lord's table. It is a reminder that we are united. We are one body, that we all are united in Christ. He is our head, we are his body, and we cannot be divided, and we should not be divided, and we should love one another. So he says, whenever you partake of that, it's you become united, you become part of it. That means you join your spirit to them. And that is the greatest warning about eating food sacrificed to idols, in that you are united with the spirit, in the spirit, with the deity that is behind that food. Now, verse 18 says, observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What am I saying then? That an idol, and maybe just to understand that what the Israelites will do whenever they will sacrifice, part of the sacrifice, they will eat it, and also part will be taken by the priest. So they are partakers. You know, they are joined in the sacrifice. It is, they are part of it. And the Bible says, what am I saying then? That an idol is anything, or what is offered to idols is anything? No, it's not that I'm saying that they have any value. Rather that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. I don't want you to have a communion with demons. I don't want to be united. Like, it's an entry point that you have given. It's like a gate. You see, the reason why the enemy attacks is because of certain entry points that we give. Some entry points are in music. Some entry points are in movies. Some entry points are in places that we go to, in certain friendships. Those are entry points. And even in business, that is why Paul warns them that do not be unequally yoked. What union does light have with darkness? That means that there are certain things that don't allow you to enter into certain businesses with those that are not of the same faith. Why? Because it is a communion. You are uniting themselves. When they take part of their business, they say they have to go to the shrine first. Where do you fall in? Because your principles collide. You know, your source is different. So there is a place where you need to strike a distance and say, this is it. Look at what he says. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? So, God, we are being warned. Don't move the Lord to jealousy. Tables of food are actually places of covenant. Think of even how God, when he visited Abraham, he came and he ate with him. Even think of why is it called the marriage supper of the Lamb? You know, when we shall be united with the Lord, we shall dine with him. Even Jesus himself, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him. That message is not for unbelievers. I know we use it in crusades, but he was writing to a church and is telling a church that, look here, I am at the door of many of your hearts. But if you hear my voice, I will come in to your house and dine with you. So Christ desires to feed us and he desires to eat with us. And that is a very important place of remembrance. Verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful or not all things are beneficial. Yes, you might have the liberty. Liberty and liberty without knowledge or liberty without limits is not true liberty. Liberty knows their boundaries. Liberty does not infringe on another man's liberty. But not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Verse 24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Verse 25, and that is, 24, that is the aspect of love. Let love build up. Let love edify. Let us seek for things which build to love. Let us not sin against Christ, sin against the body of Christ, sin against our fellow believers. Verse 25, eat whatever is sold in the meat market. I'm sure this was a question they also asked. Hey, Apostle Paul, should we eat food sold in the market? It has been sacrificed by these guys. Maybe they offered a prayer before they sacrificed. Should we eat it? Then Paul will tell them, whatever is sold in the meat market, eat, don't ask questions for your conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord and all its fullness. If any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go to eat, eat whatever is set before you, asking no questions for conscience's sake. That means if you're invited, if you're in the marketplace, buy whatever meat is there. Don't ask whether it is halal or not. Buy, eat, cook it, give glory to God, give thanks. But even if someone invites you for dinner and you desire to go, eat. They are inviting you, go, eat. But the Bible says, but if anyone says to you, this was offered to idols, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you and for conscience's sake. Conscience, he says, not your own, but that of the other. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God, just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that many may be saved. Paul always had a goal in mind. He wants all men to be saved. He does not want to wound the consciences of weak people. I mean, Paul to him is like, what is an idol? In fact, I mean, it's the thing where he can even just hold and break. And remember how in Ephesus, where they burn all those witchcraft things and all those, you know, items that were so expensive, he burns them. And that is the place, that is the understanding he has. But you see, he tells you, wise people, you are guys of wisdom. You know that there is a spirit behind it. Don't just go for the sake of going. And the reason why I tell you is such that you know at the back of your mind. But you see, there is a point where you might be in a situation where you cannot control. You're in a place where every meat that is cut is offered in a prayer to a different God. You're in that situation. Go ahead. Eat. Don't bother yourself. If you're invited, and believers will invite us. Jesus was invited by tax collectors to his home. Those are opportunities that will give you an encounter in which you can establish friendships, and you know, and by that you can eventually show the love of God. Go. Don't disturb yourself with it. But you see, when someone points out to you, someone with a weak conscience tell you, no, why are you eating this? This is offered to idols. Then don't do it. Not for your own sake, but for the sake of the other person. Do things without giving offense, all for the glory of God. Remember the end goal, the greatest commandment of the new creation, of the new covenant, is love. A love that builds up. Jesus said, this is how people will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Love is the greatest gift of all. And now these things three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Always keep asking yourself, whatever I am doing, am I doing it in love? How I respond to people, is it in love? Does this build up or does it break? That heart of love, even in among leaders who are failing, even among in rebuke, how do we even rebuke in love? How do we correct in love? How do we do our marriages in love? How do we respond to our spouses, to our children in love? That even though, yes, they are being disciplined, they can still sense the love of God. Even though they have messed up, they can still sense a restorative love, not a love that condemns, a love that identifies and sees them as people who have made mistakes, yes, but they can be restored. Love is our greatest foundation. And love forgives. The Bible tells us love does not keep a record of wrongs. There is no way you can ever show people that you love them unless you forgive them and unless you show them the love of Christ. People will never know the love of God. They will never know that God can forgive them unless you forgive them yourself. That's one thing you must ever learn. People will only know the love of God through you. Let us take heed to the message of today, and I pray that God will give us grace and wisdom in this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Marlon. Thank you for that. Indeed, we're one body in Christ, and as you rightly said, when we offend each other as believers, we offend in Christ. And I think this also goes to, this message has been strong even in the Old Testament. If you read Zacharias, when he was calling them, warning them and saying, the Lord is saying, leave Babylon and come back home. It means that he will plant every nation that, brought harm to them, and you will harm all that, harm is most actually referred to them as his most precious possession. So you can see that God and even Christ, the love they have for the believers and his children called by his name is amazing. And every sin we commit towards a brother, it's not that individual you're sinning against, but you're sinning against Christ himself. So thanks for that reminder. My confusion with Paul here is that I don't know whether he was trying to say that for as long as you're not aware that this food has been committed to idols, you're free to eat it. Oh, is it saying that for as long as a weaker brother has not called you to attention of the nature of this food you're going to eat, you should go ahead and eat it? Those are two different things. Lack of consciousness of what you're doing, and you do it not knowing that it is sacrificed. I mean, God has mercy, and I think to some level of ignorance, I would believe that. But if you know that this food is offered to some, because imagine Muslim brother invites you, of course. Just eat, come on, eat first.
Okay, I think you're breaking, but I think I heard your question. I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Okay,
Can you
okay.
hear me?
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Yeah, you're saying if a Muslim brother invites you.
Yes, I said if a Muslim brother invites you, like for Eid,
Yeah.
you know very well that this food is offered to idols. Should you go ahead and eat it if a weaker brother has not reminded you of that? Because sometimes you're with a weaker brother who is not even conscious to the spirit to think of this, that this is food offered to idols, and both of you will eat it. So what happens in that situation when you, the stronger brother, you're aware of this, but the weaker brother is not aware? Do you both go into dining? Because again, when you hear him say that you cannot dine on the table of demons at the table of Christ, to me that is like an absolute no-no there. But again, Father, there is some sort of compromise. Even where there's lack of knowledge, you can go and eat and do it. I don't know if I'm confusing
No, okay, yeah, sure. No, I got your point.
it.
But the thing is, you have to differentiate. There are three instances that are being differentiated, okay? Number one is eating that food that is sacrificed to idols in the temple. You understand? If your brother finds you eating, they are going to the temple itself during that function, eh? And they are eating, they're joining. It's like, let's say you go to a Hindu temple, they are having this function, you are entering, you're eating with them. Some people are committing sexual immorality on one side and not, and you're just saying, oh, me, I'm just going for food. I'm just going to take soda. Like people say. Now, that one is a no, because you cannot be a partaker of that. But there are two other situations, which, as I said, there are three things which are being addressed. Number one is that worship. That one, for sure, don't be a partaker of it. By all means, absolute. The second aspect is you go to the market. You live in a nation where you know that all meats, for sure, before they catch them, there's something they have said. You understand? Now, in that situation, you can eat the meat, and in that case, don't ask questions. You understand? Because you're not going to now stay a whole, all your life, you're not going to take meat in the market because you don't know whether it was cut from here or cut from there. You understand? So there, by liberty, which is the place where he's saying you are free, you can eat without raising any consciences sick. You understand? So don't disturb yourself about that. Eat. Number three is an unbeliever, who might be a Hindu, might be a Muslim, invites you to share with them in their houses. Now, don't disturb yourself, oh, did he offer his things to, to before he invited me, did he say a prayer when he was preparing the food, or when he says a prayer for the food, will I eat it or not? Don't also ask questions. If you desire to go and eat. You understand? He has invited you, he's a friend. You desire to go. You're free. What Paul is saying is you're free. But remember that the moment your conscience judges you, or the conscience of someone else judges you, then don't do it. Okay? So, three situations. One is the event. You're going for the event. Don't be a part of it. Number two is you are invited, you go to the markets and there is meat. Eat without raising questions. Number three is you're invited to someone's house to eat. Eat without raising questions for conscience sake. But if now someone points out to you, my brother, but this is food sacrifice to idols, then just leave it. Not for your sake, because for you, but for the sake of the brother. But what, that's why I'm saying it's a liberty. But you see, liberty has boundaries. Liberty has boundaries. And the boundary is love. For the sake of our brothers, and also knowing that, what, that's what I'm saying, I'm speaking to you as wise people. Yes, food is nothing, but food, there is a spirit behind it. Now that you know, there are things that you will learn to say no to. That's why I'm not going to tell you to say no or to say yes. That one you will judge by your own spirit, and you will know from today, I used to do this, but I think from what I see and from what I know, this is not just an innocent invitation. There is something behind it. You understand? But there is another innocent invitation, which is just come and share a meal. You understand? So those are the differences that you will have and you will know. Yeah, and it is important to strike the balance. I hope it's clearer now.
It is. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, we thank God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your wisdom that you have spoken to us in clarity, O God. And you're giving us key guidance on our liberties and key guidance on our boundaries, O God. And we pray for our hearts, that our hearts be guided, that we be guided by wisdom, that we should not be partakers of the tables of demons and at the same time partakers of the table of the Lord. You've called us to communion with you, to fellowship with you, to be disciplined, O God, and to know our limits and also not to wound brethren, O God. Forgive us where we have failed. Forgive us where we have struggled in one way or another, but we pray that indeed may we continue to be united with you, O God. May we know where we should not sin against the body, but in maturity, that we should do the right thing for the sake of the body. I pray for wisdom and guidance. Remember our family members, be with them. Watch over our children, watch over our relatives, our brothers and sisters. We come against every sickness and every spirit of death. We come against it in the name of Jesus. May your grace and presence go ahead of us. Bless the work of our hands. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Shalom. Bless.
Thanks.
Okay, bye. Bye-bye.